This morning I will read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 from the King James Version. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
It's good to be here this morning. So thankful for everyone who is here visiting with us. I want to let you know you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for you being here as well. We have begun a new year. And what a blessing it is to be able to see it. There are many that did not see this new year. And whether they were in Christ or not, they did not see it. We're here. And so God has given us the privilege to be able to be in his presence on this morning, to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we're looking forward to the year of increase. And the more that I've considered this, the more I was thinking about how God desires for us to grow and how he doesn't want us to be stagnant. And he always wants us to be moving forward. But also, he always wants us to be growing numerically and growing outwardly, if you will. And so this year, we want to increase in everything. And we want to give God the glory in everything. Later on, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 7, but just want to put that on your mind right now, because Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would say, in everything abound, and then he talks about those things in which he wanted them to abound in. But if anything, we don't want to abound, we don't want to increase, and we don't want to grow in those things that are identified as malice or sinful, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 20. As I was studying about increase and abounding and growth and progress, I found it very interesting how often the word increase is used, especially in the original language, and how this word gives a very interesting idea. And I want us to consider a few things, because it means, in one sense, to grow or to become greater. It also means to grow numerically. But it also has that idea of spiritual Christian growth. And so it's not only numerical growth, but also internal growth. That man that's on the inside of you, as Peter would say on one occasion, grow in the grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. And so God has always wanted his people to grow and to develop, especially in their Christian growth, if you will. I'm reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if you will. Turn there and look at verse number 58. We'll be looking here at 1 Corinthians 3 here in a few seconds. But I want us to look at this from an introductory perspective. Here, Paul, by inspiration, as he talks about this great gospel chapter, if you will, and talk about how those who die in Christ are going to be dying in a very powerful way. But he talks about the work and how death really has no sting. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Now watch this. Always abounding, always increasing, always growing, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, the things that we do, if it is to the glory of Almighty God, it is not in vain. And I'm reminded of Hebrews 6 and verse number 10, how God is not unjust. He sees the good that we do. And so we should not be discouraged when we're doing that which is right in his sight. And as God gives the increase in our lives, friends, we ought to do our best to make sure that we are allowing that increase to take place. But furthermore, when we think about the idea of increase, it means to put to or to add to or to lay beside. It can also mean to exist in abundance, to make or to be more, to superabound. Look at 2 Peter 1. Look at verses 5 through 8. In 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, as we turn our Bibles there, I want us to take notice of something that I believe is very important for us to consider. Because we want to grow. We want to develop. Not just physically, not just financially, not just emotionally, but we should have a desire to grow and increase spiritually. But also, for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now watch this. For if these things are yours and abound, literally they superabound, they increase enormously and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks those things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Friends, God wants us to increase. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to grow in a super abounding way. It's not enough to just be stagnant. It's not enough to be content. It's not enough to just be complacent, if you will. We are to strive to increase, strive to grow, and strive to be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So three quick points, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, I want us to talk about God as the source of all growth. Number two, I want us to talk about what are some increases we should ask for. And number three, I want us to talk about how can we increase our love for one another. And let me go ahead and give you a preview for next week. Point three of next week is going to be the same point. Because the more that I was looking at the idea of increasing and one another, they were going hand in hand. That when we increase, friends, the church benefits. And when we increase, even the world benefits because we're getting better. We're becoming more and more like Christ. We're putting ourselves in a position that we can talk to them about the gospel and demonstrate to them that Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. Point one, God is the source of all growth. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through verse 10. We'll read for emphasis' sake. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe. As the Lord gave to each one, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. Notice, but God gave the increase. It literally in the Greek, God made it grow. God is the one that makes things grow. God is the source of all growth, if you will. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the growth, the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. The more I was considering this and I thought about how God himself, he is the source of all growth. In Acts chapter 2, when the church grew and the gospel was being presented and preached for the first time, the Bible teaches us in Acts 2 and verse number 47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The church was growing and God was the source of it. God is the source of the lilies of the field growing in the field. God is the source of a seed falling into the ground and growing up to be a great tree. God is the source of all growth. Reminded in the beginning when God said, "Let there be light," and things begin to light up. Friends, God is the source of all growth, which means, Sister Evelyn, that when we grow, we turn around and we give God the glory. Because we're taking the very word, the very seed, Luke 8 and verse number 11. The parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And we take that which God himself has provided and we use it, we apply it, and we grow. And we turn around and we say, "To God be the glory, because I just took what you gave me, I applied it to my life, and now the benefits are taking place in my life." Amen. We give him the glory. We never say, "It's because of me. Look at my hard work." Even though it is because of you and it is because of your hard work, but it is because God had given you everything you needed in order for that to take place. I remember when I was living in San Antonio and I was a little green to, you know, yard work. And so I remember I took some grass seeds, Brother Dietrich and I threw them on the ground, started watering them. Well, a month or two later went by, no grass. I'm scratching my head like, "Mom, I planted some seed and it didn't do anything." She said, "Did you till it?" "No, I just threw it on the ground." She said, "Boy, you got to till the ground. You got to get in the dirt." You know, in our lives, we got to do some tilling. We got to get the seed under the ground, under the dirt, so God can do his work. A lot of times, even in worship service this morning, you have those who are not paying attention. Oh, yeah, the seed is being thrown out there. The word of God is going forth. But if I'm not allowing the word of God to enter into my heart, friends, I cannot allow the one that is responsible for all growth to actually have some growth in me. And so, friends, we take what God has given us, we apply it to our lives, and things begin to happen. And if you notice in verses 5 and verse number 6, take notice of this again. When Paul says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers to whom you believe? As the Lord gave to each one," Paul said, "I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. He made it grow." But then again, we can't take any glory because he says, "So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters." Now I understand that he's dealing with the idea of the seed going out, revelation going out. However, the principle still stands. I can't take the glory. I can't take the glory. Friends, God is the one that we're working with. And as long as we're working with him, things will increase. But as soon as we begin working against him, things will not increase. Look at Luke 17 and verse number 10. And later on in the next point, we'll develop this particular point here in verses 5 through verse number 10. But in Luke 17 and verse number 10, I always love this passage because it sets everything in proper perspective. He says, "So likewise," Jesus speaking, "when you have done all those things which you have commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." We can't take any glory. Friends, hopefully there will be some increase in your life this year. I'm talking about spiritual increase. I pray that we will grow more and more in the grace of Almighty God. But it's going to require us studying the Word of God. It's going to require us exposing ourselves to the Word of God. It's going to require us actually spending time in God's Word, planting the seed so we can give God the glory. Point number 2, what are some increases we should ask for? Again, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Remember, we just alluded to this earlier on purpose, so we can deal with it right now. This is in the context of giving, sharing those who are in need. We know that the famine that was taking place in Jerusalem, Judea rather, according to Acts chapter 11, was taking place. And the brethren here had made a commitment, and Paul is saying now it's time to make that commitment good. However, we understand that Paul would bring up the church at Macedonia, the church at Philippi, as an object lesson, as an example of those who did not have much, yet they were willing to give from their hearts, and they did. But I want us to notice verse number 7. And notice what Paul says here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, but as you abound, notice, in everything. That is so important. It's not enough to pick one thing and abound in, Brother Ryan. Abound in everything. And it reminds me of what the ecclesiastical writer says. Whatever you find your hand to do, do it all your might. Do it all your might. If you're going to do something, put your best effort in it. The more I thought about that, I thought about even doing work around the house. Friends, we ought to do our level best. We ought to make sure that if we're going to clean our room, it ought to be the cleanest that we can get it. I remember when I was a kid, Mom said, go in there and clean your room. Well, my idea was cleaning was throwing everything under the bed and putting the drape over the bed, the spread, and hopefully Mom wouldn't look in underneath the bed. And so, of course, Mom walks in there and like, oh, the room looks nice. And she, boy, clean that. You know, really, it really wasn't about the idea of everything going under the bed. It was your mentality of why you did that. Young people, y'all listen. When someone asks you to do a task, put your mind to it. Do it right. Practice doing it right now. So when you turn 25, 30, 35, 40, you'll increase. Paul says abound in everything. Notice what he tells them to abound in. Number one, in faith. Number two, in speech. Number three, in knowledge. And in all diligence, put your effort into it. And in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also, the giving. Friends, we ought to be abounding in our confidence and our faith in God, in the way that we talk, in what we bring in the effort that we put in, and our unconditional love for God and his people, his word. Friends, we ought to be abounding. Six things we see here in the text. Again, I want us to notice, go back to Luke 17, and let's develop this thought even more. In Luke 17, starting at verse number 5, notice the apostles' request. In Luke 17 and verse number 5, notice the apostles' request. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. This idea of increasing their faith. Give us more knowledge. Make it spread in our minds. We want to know more. And notice Jesus' response in verses 6 through 10. So we see the apostles' request, and verses 6 through 10, we see Jesus' response. So the Lord said, if you have faith, confidence, trust, credence, as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Friends, did you hear that? He says, if you was to do this here, this plant here, this tree here will obey exactly what you said. That's mind blowing. And which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat. But will he not rather say unto him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? He says, I think not. Now, verse 10. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Jesus responds in a very magnificent way. They wanted more faith. Jesus said, okay, here it is. You want more confidence? Here it is. When you do your job, say, I'm just an unprofitable servant. I did exactly what you told me to do. We ought to be teaching our kids that. Mom, Dad, I did such and such. That's a great job. What you going to give me? Son, you live here too. I shouldn't have to give you something for picking up something on the floor. Why? You live here too. You live here too. Well, what about the kitty litter? What about cleaning up the dog and all of those things? Son, that's fine, but you live here too. That's your pet as well. Son, I need you to go out there and clean out my truck. It's dirty. Been working all week. What you gonna give me, Dad? Nothing. I go to work so you can eat. You live here too. You know what? Our attitude in Christ ought to be, we're working for the Lord. We're doing the Lord's work. We're going out evangelizing. We're living the right life. We're studying the scriptures. We're making sure we're applying it to our lives. We don't turn back and say, God, now what you gonna give me? No, I'm just applying what you told me. And because of that, I'm benefiting from it. And so, again, we see the apostles' request. We see the Jesus' response. Now we have to ask ourselves, what is our responsibility? Turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, Old Testament. Turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. What is our responsibility? Friends, we have a responsibility. I'm reminded of when I came across these passages of scripture and this great man of God here that I truly believe is worthy of us considering. Have you ever asked yourself, what more can I do for God? How can my service for God increase? Have you ever just sat in your chair and said, you know, I'm not doing enough for the Lord. I need to do more for the church. I need to do more for my family. I need to make sure that they're spiritual. Oh, yes, friends, there are some lessons that Sister Evelyn and I have learned in the last few weeks and still learning. We're learning that, you know, you can buy all the stuff you want, but when you die, you leave it for somebody else to do something with it. And really, what really matters, did you leave a legacy of Jesus Christ in the hearts of your children? Amen. That's what matters. Because Paul would say by inspiration, you brought nothing into this world, and it is certain you'll take nothing out. That's a certainty. Here, Jabez, this prayer is powerful. It's magnificent. It's mind-blowing. And it's worthy of us reading and considering. Notice verse number 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, now listen to his prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. In other words, increase my responsibilities. That your hand would be with me. And that you would keep me from evil. That I may not cause pain. And notice God's response. So God granted him what he requested. Friends, did you hear that, brothers and sisters in Christ? Here, Jabez, he wanted more responsibility. He wanted his responsibility in the sight of God to increase. When was the last time we asked God to increase our responsibilities in the kingdom of God, in the church of Christ? Friends, we want to increase in our responsibilities. Well, in what way, Brother Mike? Are we talking about going out seeking and saving the lost? Are we talking about being an example to those who are outside and inside? Of course. But turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let's make this simple. Let's make it simple. In Galatians chapter 5, when we consider, especially verse number 16, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? To walk according to the Word of God, Colossians 3:16. Drop down to verse 22. We want God to increase our faith. We want to do more in the kingdom. We want more responsibility as the people of God. Well, in what way? How can I accomplish this? Well, I like to go to the root of things. And everything else we can add to it. We can make applications for it. But here's the root. Notice, but the fruit of the Spirit, the product of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit, what is it? He begins with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now notice what he says here. Against such there is no law. In other words, you can do it as much as you want to. There's no limit to the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. There's no limit to it. And friends, it makes sense by inspiration that Paul would say this because people struggle in all of these areas. We want to increase in our love. We want to increase in our joy. We want to increase in our peace. We want to increase in our long suffering. We want to increase in our kindness. We want to increase in our goodness. We want to increase in our faithfulness. We want to increase in our gentleness. We want to increase in our self-control. We want to grow. We want to develop. We want to do more of those things. We want to be better. And when we add to our faith, and when we walk according to the Spirit's teaching, friends, then we'll be able to fight this fight. Turn to Ephesians 6. The very next book over, chapter 6, verses 10 through verse number 18. Because as we are increasing our responsibility in the kingdom, and it reminds me of Romans 14 and verse number 17, and what is the kingdom about? Love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom about? How are people drawn to us? Jesus would say in John 13, 34, and 35, that this new commandment I give you, you love one another. And the world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. How you serve each other. How you respect one another. How you talk to one another. How you give to one another. You're different. In Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, watch this, friends. Take up the whole armor of God. How can we increase our responsibility in the kingdom of God, in the church of Christ? How can we increase our responsibility? Put on the whole armor of God. When you put on the whole armor and I put on the whole armor, friends, we don't allow sin to come in and take over. That's how we demonstrate this great responsibility. It's not about what we bring in from the outside. Friends, it's what we bring from the inside. It's from the inside, because that one that's living in you is going to reign. And the question we have to ask ourselves, is it Christ our Lord, or is it something else or someone else? And notice what he says, verse number 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Friends, how can we increase? How can we help the kingdom? Put on the whole armor of God and keep it on. Keep it on. Again, Jabez asked for more responsibility. He wanted more territory. We ought to be asking for more responsibility, What type of responsibility, spiritual responsibility? What does that look like? More love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, putting on the whole armor of God, warding off sin in our lives. Because when you do that, all of us benefit. And when I do that, everyone benefits. Everyone benefits. And so we ought to be asking God, enlarge our vision of spiritual understanding. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? When I read God's word, ought to be praying for understanding. I'm reminded of what Solomon said in Proverbs 4 and verse number 7. He said, wisdom is the principal thing, and therefore get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding. Know the will of God, and you can know it. Just don't read God's word this year. Matter of fact, read God's word with the intent, Brother Royce, of understanding what he says. And then when you understand it, put it into practice. And when you put it into practice, now go talk to other people about it. Amen. Which brings us to our last point, because we want to increase in our genuine love for one another. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is my favorite point. Brother Jayden, I couldn't wait to get to this point, but I had to go 1 and 2 to get to point 3. That's usually how it goes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul, as he is writing this first letter back to them, he had to get out of there real quick because, well, they ran him out of there. He only spent a couple of weeks with those good brethren there, taught them the gospel, then he had to get out of Dodge. Notice what he says in verse number 11, chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound. So two different words right there, increase and abound. One is the idea of growing up, abounding, growing out. But in what? In your love to one another and to all. Just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father and at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Friends, did you hear that, brothers and sisters in Christ? It's not enough to grow up, but we have to grow out. It's not enough to just grow up into Christ. We need to grow out. We need to spread it. We need to spread it. Which lends us to our last point. How can we increase our love for one another? Do you know that over 100 times the phrase one another is in the New Testament? And I was thinking about that, Brother Ryan, and I said to me, God is trying to show us something. He's trying to tell us something. One another, which means that it's not about me. It's about you too. And I know when I'm taking care of Leon and Leon's taking care of me, we're both taken care of. And I'm praying for Leon and Leon's praying for me. We're both being prayed for. And so I have 7. And next week I'll have 7 more out of 100. Hopefully I'm wetting your palate that you'll go and you'll look at all of them. And some says one to another. Some says one another. Some just says another. But the idea is still the same, that the church, we ought to increase in our view of one another. And we ought to have the attitude that is less about me and more about the group. Amen? In the world that we live in today, what about me? Well, hold on. If I'm taking care of you and you taking care of me, we're all taken care of. But it's going to require some things. It's going to require the attitude of John 3:30, as John would say concerning Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. His will, not my will. So let me give you these last few. Look at Romans 12 and look at verse 10. There's only 7 of them, brethren. Working together with God, we're God's workmanship, we're God's workers, we're God's field. We're all in this together, but we got to buy into it. You will not win a championship. You will not win a pennant. You will not win a crown. You will not win unless you have the mentality and attitude that we're all in this together. We're all in this together. I have a few from Romans. In Romans 12 and verse number 10, notice what the Bible here says. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Friends, did you see that? There is a brotherhood there that we ought to be striving towards. We ought to increase in our brotherhood mentality. Love the brotherhood. Look at chapter 15 and verse number 7, one of my favorites. And notice what Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to these good brethren here that he wanted to go visit one day. He says, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I asked myself a question, why would Paul, by inspiration, have to say that? Because at times it's difficult to receive one another. Allow individuals to come into your presence, if you will. But then look at Romans 16. And notice verse number 16. Greet one another. Let's stop. There is an attitude that we ought to have that when I see you, how you doing, brother? Sister, how you doing? Greet one another. Do you struggle with that? Do you try to greet your brethren? A simple hello, how you doing? Those are two different things. Hello means that you really don't want to be bothered. How you doing means that you want to be bothered and you want to hear what they have to say. Those are two different things. So you can tell when someone say hi and they just keep it moving, then leave them alone. It's okay. At least they said hello. But if they say how you doing, that means they got a lot of time on their hands. How you doing? Man, I was waiting for somebody to ask me. Well, I had that brisket going, but now, man, it's just. Those are two different things. Read your brethren. Greet one another. Notice, with a holy kiss. And notice what he goes on to say. The churches of Christ greet you. God has always put his name on things. He put the name of the church in the Bible. Right there. And so we see, be kindly affectionate one with another. Receive one another. Greet one another. Number 4, look at Galatians 5. And look at verse number 15. Here, by inspiration, he talks to the church at Galatia. They had problems allowing the Judaizing teachers to come in, thwart the plan of God through adding the law of Moses to the law of Christ, being circumcised. Like, no, don't do that. You're going to cause destruction and disruption in the church. And so notice what he says. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Those one another passages are all in the New Testament. And so God doesn't want us biting and devouring. He wants us to get along with each other. So in Ephesians 4, verse number 32, he tells them something very powerful. Forgive one another. I guarantee you, if you spend enough time with people, you're going to have to say, you know what? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me, please? And I know for a fact, because I was talking to the teens earlier about this today, when you go to God and you ask God to forgive you, 1 John 1 and verse number 9, he's faithful and just to forgive you. You need to forgive yourself and keep it moving. Amen. And most people can't do that. They can't do it. But to not forgive yourself is a lack of faith in God. Because God says, I forgive you. And God says, therefore, you need to keep it moving. Why? Because I've moved on, you need to move on too. Look at James 4, 11. James 4, 11. We got two more and I'll let you go. One another. We need to increase in these things. When people in and out of the church begin talking ill about the people of God, someone ought to say, hold up, that's my brother. Stop that, that's my sister. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Go to chapter 5, look at verse 9. Notice what he says here. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Friends, we shouldn't be talking evil against one another or about one another, and we shouldn't be grumbling against one another. Let's talk it out. Let's discuss it. Let's get rid of it and let's move on. Same chapter, chapter 5, verse 16, the last one. And I have seven more on next week. But this here is so powerful. And this here is underused because of all of the terror that comes with it. Yet when you use it, there's a lot of freedom that comes with it. You can actually increase in your faith, in your confidence in God, in your confidence in your fellow brethren when you can do this. Confess your faults to one another. Why would James say that by inspiration, friends? Brethren, stay with me. Because he knows that every now and then we're going to commit a fault. Every now and then we're going to sin against one another. Let me tell you, sometimes the person that I dislike the most is the one that I look in the mirror sometimes and look at. Sometimes I got to talk to him in a way that he needs to hear the business. And then sometimes I need to tell him, boy, drop it. Keep it moving. Well, hold on. If I have to do that with me, then others may have to do that with me too. And I may have to do that with someone else. But Leon, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. Hold on. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Yes. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. If I confess my fault, then people are going to see me a certain way. So what? Did you get it right? So what? Did you put yourself in a position to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You've been faithful of a few things. I make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. If you put yourself in that position, then you're doing what's right. Oh, yes, friends. We need to increase in confessing our trespasses and praying for one another. Again, next week, we're going to have seven more exhortations. But I leave you with this because my time is far spent. I leave you with 2 Corinthians chapter 13. God gives the increase. And that increase is not just us going out preaching the gospel and someone sitting down with us having a Bible study and them coming to the realization and the knowledge that they're in sin and they're ready to be baptized into Christ, clothed with Christ, no longer in sin, added to the church. No, it's on the inside as well. It's on the inside as well. So in 2 Corinthians 13, I leave you with this. It's a word of exhortation. A word of encouragement. And it's not my words, they're Paul's words by inspiration. So if Paul saw fit to say these things to the church at Corinth, I think we can say the same things to the church at 9th and Main. And it'd be valid. Notice. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Friends, we leave you with these words of encouragement. We want to increase. Brother Mike, what do we want to increase in? Everything. We want to get better at everything. And so here's the question. Are you willing to get better in everything and at everything? A better husband, a better wife, a better child, a better member of the Lord's church, a better community leader, someone who is better in their relationships, Do you want to be better? Well, it's going to require you putting in some work. And we want to increase when we talk to people about the gospel. And we want to make sure that we put ourselves in a position where people can see that we're being genuine and that we love their souls. And this year, we'll increase in number. We increased last year a lot. We're so thankful. Yet, it's challenging because as the elders, we've got more responsibility. It's like we prayed the prayer of Jabez and didn't know it. Enlarge our territory. Well, Lord, we didn't pray that, but you gave it to us. And, well, we'll pray it again intentionally this year. Well, at least I'll pray it. I'll let these guys work their own salvation out. Brethren, let's increase. So whatever you did in 2025, make up your mind that you're going to do more this year to the glory and honor of God. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll give the invitation. The lesson be yours. Holy God and Father in heaven, you're good to us for that. We're thankful. We love you for who you are. We ask, dear Father, that you grant us peace, that we walk according to the Spirit's teaching, and that we abound and increase in everything, Father. And that whatever we put our hands to, Father, we pray that you will bless it. Father, we know that we are your workmanship. We know that we are your workers. We know that we're working together with you. We know that we are your field. We pray to, Father, that we'll work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. Help us to be there for one another in every way possible, to encourage each other, to admonish each other, to reprove each other, and Father, when necessary, to rebuke one another. Father, we just want what you desire, and that is to be better. We love you. We praise your high and your holy name. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider the gospel message. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He'll wash away all of your sins. He'll add you to his Son's church. You live faithful unto death, and his Son will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But maybe you're a child of God, and, well, you need a little bit of a boost to increase, to get better, to not only grow up, but to grow out. Let us do that. Call us up. Talk with us. And let's make up a plan that's going to help you in your life to give God the glory that he may give you the increase. Because then you're going to turn around and say, "To God be the glory." As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.